Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
It is an honor to be here. Thank you for your time. Thank you for putting on real clothes and leaving your house. Believe me, I understand. For the moms, I'm so happy to be here with you. It is an honor. And for the body, this is not just a Mother's Day message. Not a flower in sight. My husband asked me last year, he said, "What do you want for Mother's Day?" He actually asked me to write it out for this Mother's Day. And so I saw the Lord and I said, "Lord, what do I want for Mother's Day?" And he said, "No, let's talk about what mothers want for Mother's Day." So on the first slide, what moms really want for Mother's Day is to not have the full weight on us.
Amen.
We want to know that we're truly seen and that we will be helped in all that we do. And to truly know that everything that we love and care for is loved and cared for by God. That's what we want. We as women are natural warriors. We're actually not the peacekeepers. If you have ever been in a natural labor or in labor yourself, you understand women become warriors when they are mothers. Children are birthed through the sound of war. And there is not a grittier, more real person than a mother who has accepted the mantle and the calling she's called to. I was raised by a warrior. She looks like me, or I look like her. So the thing is, God wanted me to talk to you about war today. And we as women effortlessly, I said that word the first time right, we switch into warrior mode without effort.
Amen.
And it eats us up, and it depletes our adrenals, and it gives us unreasonable fatigue when it's not done in partnership with the one who won our victory. So I wanted to just share a little bit about myself. My husband, Mark, and I, we've been married 25 years this October. How did that happen? I don't know. I'm a mother of Zachary and Kaylee. I'm a homeschool mom. And I love the body of Christ. And above all, I love Jesus. And so I saw this on TikTok. Yes, I'm on TikTok. It's the best platform if you want to reach kids and you don't mind if China listens to everything you do. But I was on TikTok and I saw this reel of these millennial moms. And someone asked them, "Would you kill for your children? Would you kill for your children?" And they paused and they went, "Kill? Like actually kill?" Before I give this message, I want you to understand who's giving it to you. I would kill for your children. I would kill for my children. I would kill and then ask questions later. I don't understand that mindset. It's kind of bum-puzzling to me. Like, would you kill for? Yes! Yes! Who? Shoot, point! Yes! Let's go. I'll ask forgiveness. God's big. Let's go. That's who is relaying this to you, okay? It's true. Ask my husband. I literally said, "Honey, I realize that if something ever happened to our kids, I'm sorry. You're going to have to go it alone because I'm not going to stop till it's over." And he went, "I believe you." So when Pastor Tim texted me several months ago and he asked me if I would share today, I knew instantly what I was supposed to share. Instantly. Because God put this in my heart 9 months or a year ago in worship here. And so this has been a long time coming. It's about how we fight the enemy. It's about how we win and walk in victory, the victory that Jesus won for us. Here and now, guys. Here and now. In 1 Timothy 6:12, and as I say when I teach Bible study twice a week, please take these scriptures and go home. Look them up for yourself. Allow the Holy Spirit to make them alive to you. Because I am like, what do they say on Friends? An amuse bouche. I'm like the little salt to make you hungry. That's it. That's my job. In 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." In 2 Timothy, Paul goes on to say, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And in the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. That's amazing. He's talking about faith, but taking hold of the eternal life that Jesus purchased for us with his own life. That's why I love the body of Christ, because every person you've ever met was worth the price of a king, the King of Kings. Everyone. Now, they might need to be throat punched, but you know what? They're still worth the price of a king. They really are. This is not just a future promise. I wrote this: the good fight is believing and living in a way that allows us to seize the abundant life that is present here and now. That is the fight you're in. It's not against people. It's not even against yourself. It's against the fight that the enemy is like, no, you can't know who you are. You can't know who God says you are. You can't believe it's done. You need to go and roar until your knees bleed. No, you don't. No, you don't. John 17, 1 through 3 says, Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. Now listen, this is the kicker. This is eternal life, that they may know you. Amen. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Eternal life is present, ongoing relationship with God. Amen. That is eternal life. And it starts now, not when you die. It starts now. And that is the very truth and message that you are being warred against, that your flesh is warring against, that the enemy is warring against. That is the message. Now back to 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. What is that good confession? In 1 John, it's 4:14 through 16. I know this is a lot of scripture, but stories from Nikki doesn't break the yoke. So, we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. This is our confession. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he is God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Amen. We are fully alive. We are spirit. We are fully alive. That is who we are. Let me read this, because Pastor Nikki wrote it down, and we trust her, kind of. This very real fight that we are in of sickness, finances, relational, mental, emotional, it's an assault on the knowledge within us that we here and now are loved, that we are treasured and worthy of the victory Jesus has already won for us. This includes our children and our households. Amen. Mamas, you do not have to go to war. You have to stand. This is what our fight looks like. Not charging into the fray, not defeating an already defeated foe, not begging and pleading a God who loves your kids more than you love them. Can you imagine that? But standing in the already won victory of Jesus. Amen. It looks like when we're being fought against, when the enemy is assaulting us, he only assaults us with the echoes of what once was, where we were far away, where we were not provided for. There's no one to help us. We're on our own. No one's to be trusted. We're the only one who sees the problems. They're just echoes. He goes around like a roaring lion, echoing these things to our soul. It's true. Wait, you know what to do, Lily. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. Okay, Ephesians 2, 11 through 19. You can do this. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. echoes, echoes, echoes. But now in Christ, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing his in his flesh the enmity, did I say that right? Yes. Which is the law of commandments contained in ordinance, so that in himself he might make the two into one man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far away, and he preached peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. That is the truth. Every attack, the enemy says you're alone. Every whisper says that you're rejected. But in light of the truth of God, it says, bless you guys, so much springtime. It says absolutely the opposite. You are chosen, you are brought near. You're part of God's household, and all that that gives you a right to. Last time I spoke here, I talked about not taking the Lord's name in vain. That actually means like a marriage. I'm Mark Weller's wife. I have access to his bank accounts. I have access to all his paperwork. I am Mrs. Weller.
Amen.
You are a child of the Most High God, an heir, a joint heir with Christ. You have rights. So our response is that we stand. I'm going to give you a really practical application of what that looks like, and then I'm going to break it down and back it up with scripture. Years ago, I'm a very crunchy mom, and Zach was like 7, Kay was 5. My kids had never been on antibiotics, thank you, Lord. They got a cough that was not good, and it turned into something that was not good, and we put them on antibiotics. No foundation, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. And about 10 days later, the cough had started to get better. We just had that leftover, you know, but they were fine. And then it's JAMA time, or get out of JAMA time, and we're in the bathroom, and ooh, this is a spot. We won't go back there. We're getting him out of pajamas, and Zach takes off his pajama pants, and I see his ankles, and his ankles were gone. They were swollen. And he took off his shirt, and his elbows were gone. They were all swollen. He was covered in hives, and his whole trunk was covered in a rash. And instantly, the Holy Spirit came to me, and he showed me a picture. I went to the doctor, which was their pediatrician, who we never went to, obviously. I was going to go to the pediatrician. I was going to give him Benadryl. They were going to give him a steroid shot, and he was going to be fine. That's what I saw. So I got him in the car. We went to the pediatrician. They said, your normal guy is not available. He's with other people, but you can see the new PA. I said, great. I walked in. She took one look at him. What did she say? I wrote this down. What did she say? She said, this is very serious. He has juvenile idiopathic arthritis. You need to take him to Children's Hospital. And I said, beep, in my heart. And I remembered what the Lord said to me, because now the war begins.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
What happened with the healing part? That's done over us. The war is in our mind, the bridge between our body and the spirit. And I instantly went back to the position that he told me. And I said, I need to see the normal doctor. I will wait. Because I knew she had no ears to hear me. None.
Right.
We will wait. We waited. And I returned to what God said. He will get a steroid shot. I will give him Benadryl. He will be fine. I played with the kids, and I kept returning like a touchstone over and over to what God had told me. Our normal doctor came in. He took one look at Zach, and he said, he's having an allergic reaction to that antibiotic. I'm going to give him a steroid shot. You're going to give him Benadryl. He'll be fine. That's what he said to me. Literally said to me. Guess what happened? I gave him Benadryl. He had a steroid shot. He was fine.
Yeah.
But that was the war. But I stood.
Yeah.
I stood. I didn't go fighting and defending. I remembered. I went back to what my orders were as his mom.
Amen.
Our kids are not our own. We're stewards. What did the owner say he wanted? He wanted him to get a steroid shot and drug the heck out of him with Benadryl. I can do that. I can do that. The enemy wants you to think that we pick up our swords and we chop off heads when actually we remember what God said to us. We pick up the word of God and we keep our heads and we stand in the peace and the victory that he's already won.
Yes.
As we do what he says and not what we feel.
Amen.
It's the best way to mom you can ever imagine. And at times the hardest. This is the verse of the Holy Spirit highlighted to my heart as I was praying. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sinning. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace and helps in time of need.
Amen.
We have to do that. He doesn't override our will. We're not robots or Borg or zombies. We're humans with choice, because choice always comes with consent and love.
Yeah.
His kind. You know what to do. Sorry, guys. Jesus modeled this for us over and over again when he was warred against in his flesh. Remember, he was fully God and fully man at the same time. When the enemy would come and tempt him, when he would threaten him, he said, it is written.
Yep.
And he remembered what he was sent to do. The next slide about the military, Lisa. This term to stand, it's a military term. In military context, it refers to being in a state of maximum readiness or holding a specific position against the enemy. It implies vigilance and duty and a refusal to retreat.
Amen.
This is not passive. I'm not asking you to sit down. In fact, if you sit down, you're going to get thrown in the brick. Stand up.
Amen.
Remember what he said. Don't move. Don't step back. Remember who sent you. To do this, we have to be fully clothed with the armor of God.
Amen. Yes.
But having taken this idea of what we're really called to do as joint heirs with Christ and standing, listen to this. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, you guys know this, but listen closely. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers and against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of the wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. People forget verse 18, but Pastor Tony's trying to lead us there. And with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. That's the last piece. That's why he's reminding y'all. It's part of this. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. You are a saint, which means holy, set apart one.
Amen.
That's who you are.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And he knows what's in your head, and he still calls you that. That's awesome. But these are our orders to stand. I heard it three times in that. To prepare and to resist through the taking up of the full armor of God, the armor of truth, righteousness, the preparation of the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, and the taking up of the word of God, which is the truth. This is how we stand. There's no other way to do it. Now he'll try to convince you, put on your pretty Jesus pin, get your fish bumper sticker, carry a big Bible, and when things go wrong, pray, be warmed and filled, and then go worry. That's what you're called to do. No. No, you remember what he said, what he did. You lay it all before the cross, which means to hurl, yeet, throw, and say, I can't. And he said, I know. But you did, and he'll say, I know. And then you start praising him, because thanksgiving is the language of faith. If you start hearing yourself thanking God for things before it's manifest, that means you're in faith. That means you see it. I could sing a whole gospel Bill Nicodemus song to you, but I won't if you were a church kid. Again, in military context, it refers to being in a state of maximum readiness. Isn't this just a very womanly Mother's Day message? Holding a specific position against the enemy, it implies vigilance, duty, and a refusal to retreat. What is our specific, English words, kind of. Specific, put an S, specific, what are our orders? What is our position? Let's go back to our good confession in 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life, which is present relationship with God, to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I'm going to read this. If you hear nothing else, please hear this. I do not care how skilled you are in scripture memorization. If you are not fighting with it from this position that he's done it, standing from the position that in the victory of Jesus and only by his finished work we are saved, that we stand already in a position of victory, those scriptures will not defend you against the accuser or your own flesh. It is our only position of victory. Only. And it's beautiful, and it's scary, and it's awesome. And it's the only way we can do this. It's it. That's the only way. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be on alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men and be strong. I read this and I was like, act like man? But Lord, I love being a girl. I love my femininity. I love when, you know, we need some extra roles. And Mark's like, you go ask. You always get more tired than I do. So I read that and I was like, really, act like a man? What does that mean? And the Amplified, it says this way, be on guard, stand firm in your faith in God, respecting his precepts and keeping your doctrine sound. Amen. Be grown up. Know what you believe. Know what the word says. Don't be double-minded. One of the things I respect about my beautiful husband, he's single-minded. I am swayed by logistics and every need I see, and every heart I hear, and every feeling I feel. And he somehow just stays at the default of what is best. It's annoying as heck, y'all. But he lets me float around and say all the things I need to say out loud, and he totally takes into account all the things that I see. It's like the time he came in and he said, Nikki, this is the spot again. Okay, we're gonna step forward. He came in and he said, Nikki, we're supposed to go see your grandmother. Mm-hmm. My grandma's in a nursing home in Nashville. We lived here. Zach was 2, 3. Kaylee was 1. And I said, when? And he said, today. And I went, oh my God. Blankets and bottles and car seats and snacks and batteries and sound machines and I need a drink, you know, like, oh my God. And he's like, we're supposed to go. And I'm like, and I listed all that and he's like, we're gonna make a plan and we're gonna do it. And he held that line as I freaked out about 4 more times. And then we called our family and we went. And we saw my grandmother, and I played poker with her because that's how we show love in our family. And we spent time, and Kaylee took her first step right there in that nursing home with grandma. And we came home, and she died 11 days later. Amen. Having seen both of my babies. Because he heard what the Holy Spirit said, and he stuck to it. Amen. Be like men. Don't slap me when I say that. Be like men.
Amen.
Motivated by the assurance of his love, we can stand, we can resist, and we can receive every part of the victory that Jesus died to give us. Be on guard. Stand firm in faith. This is 1 Corinthians 16 again. In God, respecting his precepts and keeping your doctrine sound, act like mature men and be courageous. Be strong. Let everything you do be done in love, motivated and inspired by God's love for us. Amen. Not trying to get what we already have. No, my dad's got me. Not trying to defend ourselves. No, he'll defend me, or if I look bad, doesn't matter. Not wondering, Lord, do you want me to tell this? What time is it? We got time, we're okay. I think I told you guys this. Lord, remind me. Years ago, we had just moved from Louisville down here. And Zach's birthday was coming up, and I was getting Power Rangers stuff off of Facebook, as you do for a birthday. And it was mapped out, and you went south. I just know it was south of 183, which I don't know in my brain. Because you use the airport, whichever way the planes are going, that's where you know where you are in the world. And you get down there, and you're like, I don't know. And so I'm mapping it out, and we're driving down a road, and there's this big open field, and this big Black Hawk helicopter starts landing into the field. And these guys start descending out of the helicopter, doing like these cool maneuvers. And my son, who was, this is 2018, how old were you, Zach? You were seven. This is all around the same time. That was a big year for you. He goes, oh, this is so cool. Oh my gosh. And he's like, this is awesome. And I'm like, wow, helicopter, all the things. And then we start keep driving away, and I'm following the map. And Kaylee, who's like 3, is in the background. She starts crying, and I'm like, what's wrong? She goes, I wanted to see a white pony. And I'm just like, I'm just trying to get decorations on Facebook here, people. I've given you snacks. I've tried all the things. And the Lord said, have her ask me for a white pony. And I thought, but if you don't do it, you're going to look bad. And I don't want you to look bad. Why don't you just have me ask her, not you? And he said, I will defend my reputation to my children. Amen. Tell them what I said. Hallelujah. Oh, crap. So I said, Kaylee, why don't you ask God for a white pony, to see a white pony? God, I want to see. She had like a cartoon voice, still does. God, I would like to see a white pony. We go and pick up the decorations. I remap on the way home because it's close to 4:00. We're heading north. Cars are coming. You check that map. You know it. And it told me to take a road, not the road we came. I'm taking this other road, and I'm kind of going around a bend. And all of a sudden, the kids go, and there's like a farm of miniature horses and like 7 white ponies. And Kaylee starts crying again, and I'm like, dear Jesus, what? And she goes, I wanted it with a white tail and a white mane. And I said, okay, your face is like an arrow, be specific. Ask the Lord. And in my heart I'm going, Lord, I trust you. I'm releasing. And we turn the other bin, and there's a big white pony with a white tail and a white mane. I stood on what he told me. I freaked out 4 times, but then I returned to what he told me, and I still said out loud what he said to my children, and God defended his own reputation to my children. We have to tell him what he said, guys.
Amen.
That's our job. That's our job. So, little story time. This is the last time I'll do this, I promise. When 26 years ago this November, I was instantly healed from fibromyalgia and extreme environmental illness. And I was in a wheelchair for years. I was down to 5 foods I could eat. I was like the boy in the bubble from the movie in the 70s. And in the weeks going up to my healing, as my feet turned in and the shaking started and I was dying, I saw Jesus in the flesh several times. That's a story for another day. But one time he came to me when I was in the clinic. We have one of the best environmental illness clinics in the world in Dallas, and we were going there 5 days a week, 3, 5. It's been 26 years, guys. I start shaking. My mom thinks I'm gonna fly off the table. I can't even sit up with myself, but you get these tremors in your bodies as you're dying. And I keep coming to the spot, don't I? Well, that's all right. And I'm laying on this metal table with a cotton blanket on me, and I see Jesus walking by, and I see his tunic. And he walked around where I could see him, and he showed me his hands. It's actually his wrists right by here. And they were scarred over. I could still see the holes. And he turned around and he lifted up his tunic, and I saw the stripes. He was beaten beyond recognition.
Amen.
Didn't even look like a man.
Amen.
In his back. And what he was showing me was not, Nikki, why aren't you remembering? Don't you know I'm good? Don't you know who I am? Why aren't you standing? He was saying, here's the receipt, darling. I paid it. It's done. And I stopped shaking. I don't remember, a week, two later, something, within a month I was healed. But see, what he was doing was he was earning my trust.
Yeah.
I knew him since I was four. I always knew I'd be healed, but I was waiting for the divine time of the Lord. That's not scriptural. Today is the day of salvation. But see, what I learned was grace was everything that Jesus provided on the cross. For finances, for healing, for provision,
yeah.
For soundness of mind, for wholeness. And our faith is what goes and takes it. And he was showing me that receipt purchased in his own body. That's why we remember. That's why we have a place of remembrance. Not because I screamed or yelled or prayed was I healed that day. It's because I finally realized it was done. That's why he's so good.
Amen.
He's so good. So mamas, I want to encourage you to stand. Children of the Most High God, I want to encourage you to stand. Remember that what he has done. Remember where he asked you to position your hearts. And then wait. To wait, it's in Hebrew, it's the idea of like a twist tie on bread when you're tying up. It's to twist around an idea or someone's heart. As you expect them. That is what the Lord's saying when he says to wait, to twist, to tie. So I want to leave you with this for Mother's Day. One more page. I made it through my notes. 1 Corinthians 16:13-14, back to this. Be on guard. Stand firm in your faith in God, respecting his precepts and keeping your doctrine sound. Act like mature men.
Amen.
Act like a real mother. And all that implies. Men, and be courageous. Be strong. Let everything you do be done in love, motivated and inspired by God's love for you. Mamas, you can stand. He sees every detail. He forgets no promise. He will defend his reputation. You can stand and proclaim his word to you. Dads, you can keep one mind while everybody spins around you. And remember what God says, let God be true and every man a liar.
Amen.
Stand, stand. That's how we fight the good fight. Thank you for your time.